Amen. How's everybody doing tonight? You are the crowd that's not sick right now. Come on, somebody. Amen. We were going to have some prayer requests tonight, but we had 92 people on the list, so praise the Lord. Well, once again, we'd like to welcome everyone to Victory Outreach tonight. So glad that you decided to join us for our midweek service, especially for the very first time ever, and the Rivera family. We want to welcome you, amen, for your very first time. We hope that you're blessed, amen. And our pastors, they're part of the 92, amen. So they're not here tonight. Let's make sure we keep our pastor, Pastor Danny, in prayer. He has a big weekend this weekend with our men's retreat, amen. So he's trying to get his voice right. What a powerful time we had yesterday at the last Elevate class. If you were here, it was a powerful, powerful time. Our pastor brought a wonderful teaching and message on the area of finances. It was powerful, amen. And so make sure next time we have our Elevate classes that you participate, sign up, and don't miss out on what God is doing here at Victory Outreach. Amen. Well, let's get right into it tonight. You can turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And usually, and you know, I hear some people say sometimes that, before they speak or ministers or preachers, and they say like, you know, I'm nervous every time, right? And, you know, I'm not super nervous every time. You know, there's sometimes I'm just, you know, not nervous, as nervous as, you know, other times I'm nervous. But today I'm super nervous. Amen. And, you know, I got here, I had my message ready. It was about 5:45. You know, I rolled in, and, you know, the Lord told me, don't speak that. That's not what I want you to speak tonight. Amen. So I fired up my Bible. Amen. I turned the on switch on and amen. I listened to what the Lord had to say. And so we're going to go with that tonight. Amen. I put all my Bible verses on paper here so I didn't have to flip back and forth. And, you know, I was at Bibles Plus the other day, and now they don't just have giant print. They have super giant print, right? So if anybody ever wants to give me a present, that's it. Because everybody's like, man, you type a lot of notes. This is all my Bible verse, because I can't read that from up here. This is, I got to put like 16 font, 18 font, you know what I mean? 20 point. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and read Deuteronomy 28, and we're going to start reading in verse number 15. The Bible says, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hands to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because the evil you have done forsaking him. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. And Father, we just pray tonight as your word comes forward that you'd open our hearts, God. You speak to us, Lord. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can go ahead and have a seat here tonight. You might be saying, it's going to be a tough message tonight. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, this is one of my favorite chapters of all the Bible, right? Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's one of the best. It's like one of my go-to. I like to read it. I like to read it when I'm by myself. I like to turn there during my morning devotion time, because the first part of this chapter, it says all the blessings. It said you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. You'll be blessed when you go in and come out. And it's like you get all excited. Right? You get excited. Oh, I'm going to be blessed. Right? You do the I'm going to be blessed dance. Come on, somebody. You put your I'm going to be blessed music on. Right? You iron. It's going to be a blessed day shirt. Come on, somebody. You throw that bad boy on and you're like, I'm ready to go. But you know, the scripture doesn't stop with just the blessings. The scripture goes on to say, but, however, if you do not obey the word of the Lord, you won't be blessed, but you'll be cursed. And I want to talk to you tonight because I really believe that this is our year to elevate. This is our year to move in, to shift into the plan, the purpose, the journey that God has for us, a new season of elevation, a season of blessing, a season of overcoming, a season of breakthrough. God has something special this year for you, for me, and for our church, for our pastors, for our ministry. This is our year. But some of us, we're being held down by curses over our lives. We're being held back from our full potential. We're being shortchanged. We're being pushed aside. We're being stepped on and ran over by different things that are going on in our lives. It all comes down to the obedience to the Word of God. The obedience, yeah, we can be blessed when we obey, but if we disobey, but if we go astray from, if we run from, then there's the second part of Deuteronomy chapter 28. So tonight, I'm going to title this message, Reverse the Curse. And I believe it's time that we take a look inside different areas of our lives. You know, I always tell my wife, you know, it's always, you know, two out of three are really good, right? You got your ministry, your job, and your family. You only get two out of three at a time, it seems like, right? Your job's going great, right? Your ministry's going great, but something like it's going crazy at home. Come on, somebody, right? Or, you know, everything's great at home. Right? Great, great at your job, but then it's in ministry, it's kind of funny. It's like, man, how come everything can't be great all the time? Right? Two out of three. But I don't want to live in the two out of three no more. I want to live in the three out of three. Blessed, come on somebody, picking up the promises of God for my life. It's time to reverse the curse. The first area I want to look at tonight is sin. And we're looking at 2 Samuel chapter 11. You don't have to turn there, but there's a story about King David and Bathsheba. The Bible says in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Amorites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and slept, and he slept with her. And we see here that David brought a curse upon his life, right? He brought it through sin. And how many know that we could be on fire, right? We could become the church week after week, but that does not stop the temptation, right? That doesn't stop the devil throwing his fiery darts. And if it's one of those days that we haven't put on the full armor of God, it's one of those days where we haven't protected ourselves in prayer, that our eyes aren't focused on the call and not focused on the cross, that temptation can come in and we can get distracted from the call of God. But you know, the Bible says that he always makes a way out.
that he makes a way out. We see here that the guy said that David sent his soldier, hey, go find out who she is. And the guy came back and said, listen, it's somebody's daughter. It's somebody's wife. That was his way out. He should have shook it off. He said, I ain't going out like that. Right? He should have snapped and said, you know what? I can't do that. But instead he fell into sin right here. Right? And what happens? He falls into sin and he's blinded by his sin. First, it starts out with adultery. Right? It starts out with fornication. That's what's taking place. But then it doesn't stop there. Right? Because your first sin is just the starting point of the plan of the enemy over your life. You take one step into the devil's playground, he'll pull you all the way in. Right? It doesn't end up with just adultery and fornication, but ends up in murder. Right? And he gets pulled in and that takes place and he's all caught up in sin and he doesn't even see it. He's too busy looking at everybody else. Come on, somebody. Do you know someone like that? Don't you dare look at him tonight. Too busy looking at everybody else to see his own stuff. Finally, the prophet had to come, give him a little story, and he realized how awful a thing he had done. But sin, right? Sin will bring a curse. When we fall into the different sins of life, we fall into these things, they'll bring a curse. But how many know that the curse isn't final? Right? The curse doesn't mean it's over. Yeah, the wages of sin is death, but I'm here to let you know that the grace of God is able to find you in any situation or circumstance. That if you let the power of God into your life, we see here in Psalms 51, David wrote a psalm. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with your willing spirit. He reversed the curse. When we come before our almighty, all gracious, all merciful God. It doesn't matter what we did in the past. It doesn't matter what sin that you committed back then. I'm here to let you know that God can forgive you if you come with the kind of heart that David came with and say, create in me a clean heart. Rejoice unto me the joy of your salvation. Don't you dare live in sin, but step out of it and ask God to come back into your life. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Reverse the curse. It's not too late. Sometimes we get caught in sin like a trap. And we feel like we can never break free. We can never let go. Listen, God is able. God is able to dig you out of any hole that you got yourself in. All you got to do is lift your hand up, reach up to heaven and say, God, I need you. Don't you dare stay where you're at. The next area that we got to reverse the curse in is in our money and our finances. We see the story of the widow at Zarephath. Bible says in 1 Kings 17, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. Listen to this. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I might have a drink? And she was going to get it, and he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering but a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we might eat it and die. So what happened here is Elijah, the brook had dried up. The ravens were no longer bringing provision to Elijah. And so the Bible says that the Lord directed a widow to supply for Elijah. This was a command from God. When you see Elijah, provide for him. And so what happened is Elijah showed up and the widow said, I can't provide for him. I can't do what you've told me to in the area of provision, God. I can't do it. I don't have anything. She even told Elijah that I'm out here picking up sticks. I'm out here gathering wood because I am making the last meal for my son. But little did she know that the very plan for God to provide for her and her boy, the very plan of provision, the very thing that was going to be put in place for her salvation, for her breakthrough, for God to provide her every need, was for her to give what God had told her to give. And sometimes that's our mentality. We see that God has already commanded us to give. Right? And you like, how does God, God never told me to give? Well, open up your Bible sometimes. Come on, somebody. You can see it there in the book of Malachi. It's a good reference point. Right? You say, how have I ever took anything from you? God, well, right there in Malachi chapter 3, how have we robbed? And the word says, you've robbed me in tithes and offering. Right? Well, what happened is like, and you know why the Bible says rob there? Is because robbing is much more violent. It's a violent word because when you rob somebody, they got to see you doing it. Right? They're a witness, right? When you thief something, it's behind their back. I mean, no, you can't do nothing behind God's back. Right? So you can't thief nothing from God because he know you there. Right? And we see here that the widow, even though that God had told her to give, and how many know that that's what God has told us to do, right? And it was connected to her provision, to her promise, right? And so what happened is once she began to give what God had told her to give, once she did what God had told her to do, then God provided what he was going to provide, right? So what happened? She was able to reverse the curse off of her life by being obedient to the word of God. By being obedient to what God had told her. You know what one of my favorite things when me and my wife counsel couples, or even when I'm doing one-on-one with the guys, I always tell them, it's never too late to do the right thing. Never too late to do the right thing, right? And even when we look at the story of Cain and Abel, right? Pastor hit on it good yesterday. But when he was preaching, I began to think what it also said in that verse, that not only did Cain not bring his best, but God gave him a way out. God gave him a way out. You're thinking, oh man, he brought a bad offering. That dude's, you know, he's done. It's it. It's over. But no, God gave him a way out. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? He said, Cain, I know you didn't do what you were supposed to do. I know you didn't do what I told you to do. I know you didn't do what you I wanted you to do, but it ain't too late. You can still reverse the curse. All you've got to do is do the right thing. Same thing with that. We're in the middle of this 90-day challenge, right? 90-day challenge. We've been saying it over and over from the pulpit. And so many people have, you know, over the years when we do the 90-day challenge, we hear testimonies, right? We hear testimonies of people that begin to tithe for the first time. They begin to get breakthrough in their finances, right? They begin to get miracles. We heard even tonight when Brother Mark was picking up the offering that he got double for his trouble. Listen, he's not the only one that can have a miracle up in here. That kind of power is available to every single one of us. Every born-again believer that's connected with God. Right? You can reverse the curse. You don't have to pay the past 10 years of non-tithing. You know, it's not like that. Just get in where you fit in. Right? Start today. Start on Sunday. Reverse the curse of finances in your life. Maybe you're out there and you've been running from God. Right? You felt the call of God. Maybe you got saved when you were 15, 16, 20. And what happened is you got saved and then you went astray. Right? We look at the story of Jonah. Look at the story of what happened with Jonah. Jonah, for the sake of time, right? I'm just gonna walk you through it over here. What happened with Jonah is God had told him to do something. Amen. And he didn't do it. Can I get a witness? Right? God told him to do something. He said, no, I ain't gonna do that, God. So what happened? He went the opposite direction from where God wanted him to go. How many of you can relate with that this evening? He went the opposite direction, and what happened is his whole life got turned upside down. That's what happens when you've been called by God. When you've experienced and had an encounter with God, you can't never be the same. You can't go back. You can't never go back to thinking like you never had an encounter with God. Like you can't convince yourself that it wasn't real, that nothing ever happened. Everywhere you go, you'll be reminded about who God is in your life. You'll be reminded. People will even tell you, hey, I don't think you're supposed to be here. You'll be up in the club, right? They're like, hey, I don't think you're supposed to be here. We haven't seen that dance move since 1985 anyways. You definitely ain't supposed to be in here. But Jonah ran from God, right? He ran, and when he ran from God, there was a curse. You saw it upon his life. The storm, everything was going on, and then he got swallowed by the big fish, and it just seemed like everything was going wrong. A curse was upon his life. But the moment he cried out to God, right? And I love, in the prayer, and in Jonah chapter 2, there's a key verse in verse number 9, and what he said, he says, what I have vowed, I will make good. And so when he cried out to God, he was able to reverse the curse upon his life. Reverse the curse. If I get the keyboard player up. The next area is your character. Your past. Sometimes we get saved. Right? And, you know, before we were saved, we had like this reputation. Right? People used to know us as something else, right? Some of you had a nickname, right? We're not going to bring out nicknames tonight. I've had a few. Amen. But we were known by something else because of who we were in the past, what we did in the past. Some of us have what they call a criminal record, a rap sheet, right? Some of you were known in your neighborhood. Some of you used to be the crazy lady. Everybody looked. Amen. That was the past, right? You were known as something, right? And some of you're so proud of who you used to be. You're so proud. When I came in the home, I had my bragamony. Right? I told people how many days I stayed up straight. Right? I'm not going to tell you tonight, but it was 17. Whatever. Right? People, like, they come in the home. They're about 25 years old. Yeah, I did about 10 years in the joint. And you're like, you go in when you were 12? But we go in and we're so held on to who we used to be, what we used to do. We love it, so we forget about all the bad times. We forget about all the destruction that we used to do, all the madness of our lives. Oh, we hand pick out just a few highlights of when we were actually having fun and in the sea of despair. It's all connected with our past. You know, there was a curse from all those things. Everywhere we went, we brought destruction with us. People didn't want us in their houses. They know we'd bring the cops. Come on, somebody. We're there long enough, things get burnt. Things get broken. Property value going down. Come on, somebody. You know, Jacob, look at the story of Jacob in the Bible. Jacob was a deceiver, a thief. Everything he got by manipulation. Right? He started off chasing after his brother's inheritance. His name even means supplanter, which is, he got everything by doing wrong. Everything we used to get, we got by doing wrong. Right? We lived a life of deceitfulness and lies. But then we come to the church house, and we still live a life of lies. We still act like we're somebody we're not. We still give false information. Some of us, we're so good at lying, we don't even know if it's lying anymore. Hey, where were you the other night? This is lying for no reason. Didn't even have to lie. But something happened to Jacob. He had an encounter. Something happened where, you know, all of his life, he was running from his brother. Running from his brother. His brother was out to kill him. And some of you, you might be on the run tonight. You're on the run from the promise that God wants to give you. See, Jacob had an inheritance waiting on him. But he couldn't make his way to the inheritance because something, his past life was in his way. And some of you have an inheritance, but your past life is in your way. Who you used to be is holding you back from who God wants you to be. It's time to reverse the curse. No more lying, no more cheating, no more deceiving. It's time to reverse the curse. Give it all to God. We can all stand tonight. That's you. Say, man, I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. Maybe you got some sin in your heart, or maybe you got some compromise. Maybe it's in the area of your finances, or maybe you're running from God. You're saying, yeah, I go to church, and I come, and I sit here in my seat that I'm in every Wednesday, every Sunday. But I know I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to be doing something for God and not just warming up a seat in the church. I felt the call of God. Oh, but I feel like Jonah on a sinking ship. I feel lost and broken. I don't know what to do. Listen, God hasn't forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about the call that He's given you. God still has a plan. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we embarked on something there in the city of Rio Rancho. And every time I walk into that recreation center, I feel something I haven't felt in a long time. I feel like something, I feel like it's time for Rio Rancho. I feel like it's time to do something new. It's time to do something amazing. What about in your life? What is amazing that God's waiting on you to step into? Because God has it for you. God has it for you. All you gotta do is reverse the curse. Step out. Take a step and say, it doesn't matter about my insecurities or my inadequacies, or it doesn't matter about any of that stuff. But I make a decision. Step into something new. Don't be afraid. God has you. If that's you, you say, you know what? I need to reverse some curses in my life. whatever it is, as they begin to sing this song, step out of your seat tonight. And let's pray that, that God will break those curses off of us, off of our family.
I give myself away.
Few minutes. Spend some time with the Lord. Just like David, spend some time with the Lord. And he wrote that beautiful psalm, a psalm of repentance. Say, God, whatever it is, Lord, whatever it is that's holding me back, God, whatever it is that's stopping the plan of God, oh, Father, we pray tonight, God, give us the strength, God. Oh, Father, reverse, God. Oh, any curse that's upon our lives, Lord. Father, if it's sin, God. Oh, Father, we just pray right now, God. Whatever's going, whatever piece of compromise, whatever sin, Lord. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, God.